Growing up, undoubtedly, there are things that we have been accustomed to so much that we take them for granted. As we were children, we took for granted that we had a roof over our head, we had siblings, we had love, we had security, the food in which was always placed before us. And I think one of the things, too, that we can often take for granted is our faith. You know, especially those, right, who have grown up as a cradle Catholic, those who've known the faith all along. But, you know, it's one of those things that we can easily take for granted. And the message that who Jesus is and what he stands for, you know, can kind of be something that just goes over our head in the sense that it doesn't go into our heart. St. Paul talks about in his letter to Ephesians this morning, when you read this, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to human beings in other generations, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body and co-partners in the promise through Christ Jesus through the gospel. This is verbiage, wording that we're very much familiar with. We understand that we are partners of Jesus in the gospel, and that we, as the Gentiles, are now co-heirs. We are part of this. And yet, in the Epiphany, we recognize, indeed, the grandeur and the splendor of who Jesus is, and so much so that you have the Magi, huh, coming to go and see him. And when they go and see him, you know, they don't go, you know, as if they're there for a baby shower, right? You know, they're not there for a dinner party, right? You're not there coming there, bringing a bottle of wine and saying, oh, hey, I hear you celebrating, let's celebrate with you. They recognize who it is that is there. They come bringing specific gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, all pointing to the offices of Jesus Christ, priest, prophet, and king. And when you see that, we recognize that the Magi knew something that perhaps the common individual would not. And in that understanding, they were so enamored by the majesty of God that they could not help themselves but give that which was his due. We hear that afterwards, the angel came to them after their visit and told them to leave by another way. And we know, of course, through Holy Scripture that this was the part where they wanted to make sure that Herod had no idea where the Christ child was, lest the crazy king kill him. And so the Magi, right, they go by another way. The church fathers see this as through another meaning as well. You know, they say that they went by another way, meaning that if we were to truly encounter Jesus Christ, that, you know, our lives would never be the same. You know, that we would go by a different way. We would not take the same route, the same path in which we took to get to Jesus. That all of what we knew would change. Kind of a metaphor for us. Now, for us who grew up with the faith, you know, we kind of think, well, I've always known Jesus. I've always known about him anyways. And, you know, I don't think there's any other way that I'm living or that I should live. But the reality is that, you know, all of us, you know, huh, if we've taken our faith for granted, or if we haven't allowed the message of salvation, the message of the Epiphany to really take root in our hearts, then we can run into the very problem where we think we know who Jesus is, we think we know what our faith is all about, and we never get any deeper. And that seems to me a bit more of a problem that is prevalent in those of us who are cradle Catholics. You know, I mean, this is the stuff that we've been accustomed to, so obviously I already know everything that there is to know about the faith. I already know everything that there is to know about Jesus. I remember when, in one of my previous assignments, we had this family faith formation, and we were inviting parents to come and be a part of the sessions that were just made particularly for them. And I remember receiving a letter saying that they didn't need to know about these things because she wasn't studying to be a nun. What? The richness and the depth of our faith is so much. And you don't need to be a nun, you don't need to be a priest, you don't need to be a deacon, you don't need to be any religious to go deeper into your faith, right? there's such a beauty about it. And to think that if we ever get to that point where we think that we've exhausted it, we don't know anything. We don't know anything, right? You know what they say, you know, the more that you know, the more that you realize you don't know, right? You know, I mean, that's the wisdom, right? That's the beauty that comes with that. And so this revelation of the Epiphany, you know, this is something that even, you know, Jesus spoke about. Not the Epiphany necessarily, but just the fact of who he is and the things that the disciples were hearing and were seeing and witnessing. And Jesus told them very plainly, as he tells us in Matthew 13, 16 to 17, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. Amen, I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." And this, of course, goes beyond just the fact of being able to hear something. It means to listen to something, to understand something. And it goes far beyond being able to make out shapes and colors. It's being able to perceive things in such a greater light that it changes our lives. Our lives can never be the same because of, eventually, we get to the point of encountering God's love for us. So coming to the knowledge of Jesus and who he is presents tremendous worth. This past week, I attended the Encounter Conference in Grand Rapids. For those that don't know, the Encounter Conference talks about how to live as a disciple, especially with a relationship in the Holy Spirit. And one of the presenters shared how she had grown up a 10th generation heathen. Never knew God, never knew Jesus. And it was only until she found herself, out of all places, college. You know, and sometimes we think normally as a bad connotation when it comes to college. But when she was in college, it was there that the message of Jesus was shared to her. And this was something that she knows she desperately needed. And she was so overjoyed, so overwhelmed by the reality of who Jesus is and what he's done. She went out to various of her peers and asked them, "Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus saves? Do you know he's God? Do you know that he, you know, died for us?" And her peers would just look at her as if she had a third eye or something. And just kind of go, you know, "Yeah, I know that." Which then brought up her frustration and said, "Okay, well, you knew that. Well, why haven't I heard of him before? Why hasn't that message of salvation been shared with me? This is such good news." And, you know, it's something that, you know, when we think about it, if we're not sharing the good news of Jesus Christ, do we recognize it as good news? Do we recognize it as unbelievably great? And even if it's a subtle witness of the faith, wearing something that indicates our love for Jesus, you know, or our Blessed Mother or the saints, you know, these are ways that we can evangelize. And, you know, it's so necessary for us to be about that. One of the ways that we grow in our relationship with Jesus is, you know, going back to the basics of being familiar with his word, of diving in his word. You know, sometimes we're looking for the next and latest podcast. We're looking for some new book that's going to come out by a sister, you know, that we've been dying to read. And the reality is, sometimes we just need to go back to the Bible. We need to read his word. And read his word with the help, inspiration, discernment of the Holy Spirit, and then also to read what the church fathers, what biblical scholars have written there. You know, and it's so important to do that. Even in the Acts of the Apostles, we hear how important it is that when we read Holy Scripture, that we don't do that alone. We don't just simply pick it up as we would any book. That this is something very holy and something that requires guidance. In Acts 8, 27 to 31, you know, we hear about the Ethiopian eunuch, right? And the Spirit of the Lord came upon the Apostle Philip and says, "Go, and join up with that chariot, right, as the eunuch was going home. And Philip came up and he heard him reading, and he says, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he says, "How can I unless someone instructs me?" And then he invited Philip to get in the chariot with him and explain things. And so this is, you know, especially if we find ourselves face to face with an individual that says, "All I need is the Bible. All I need is scripture. That's all I need. And I can read it on my own." Even the Bible says you can't do it on your own, right? Even the Bible says, well, hold on a second. Like, even the Spirit prompted Philip, the apostle, who then represents authority in the church, to be able to interpret what it is that we are called to read. So reading of the Holy Word of God is not self-evident. But then once we enter into that reading of His Word, you know, it brings life into us. One of the things at the Encounter Conference, you know, that was also shared, dealt with the reality of, you know, pursuing a relationship with God, wanting to be sure that we want all of what God wants. And that might sound like an easy thing, you know, okay, well, we pursue all that is good, all that is true, all that is holy. There are a couple of individuals who have a particular ministry to the Muslims. And, you know, in their ministry to the Muslims, you know, they would bring the message of Jesus and let them know about who He is so that they can find salvation. And they were saying how there's just not enough of that effort going on. But through the very generous individuals, as they offer themselves to the Lord in intercessory prayer, that God in His mercy is doing marvelous things for them. There have been many occasions where they have seen Jesus in their dreams, seen our Blessed Mother in their dreams, and because of that, they've given their life over to Jesus. You know, they've become Catholic. You know, they've gone and, you know, converted. And I think what a powerful testimony there of intercessory prayer, you know, especially when we think our prayers aren't doing anything. And, you know, God is really working with His people, working with us. And, you know, this message here may sound like something that, okay, you know, I'll get around to it and, you know, maybe one day I'll be there. You know, it's so important that we do fall in love with Jesus, because then all the things in which He calls us to do won't feel like work. You know, instead it'll feel as if it's just the thing to do. Like, what else is there to do? You know, I've fallen in love with Him that, you know, that's what I think about. You know, that's what I want to pursue. That's my life. You know, that's what gives me joy. You know, and it's kind of a weird thing because you think, oh, you know, the work of Jesus, wow, that's a lot. That's kind of like a tall order, right? You know, there's a lot of people and I'm only one person. You know, how can I do that? And when we operate, you know, with the relationship with Jesus that we are called to have, and then move in power, grace, and confidence in the Holy Spirit, you know, we know, not only in our minds, but in our heart, that we're not alone. And then we go forth in holy boldness to those places in which we're needed. At the Encounter Conference, someone shared with me how there was an exorcist, Father Chad Ripperger, who, you know, in his interactions with those he's exorcising, he talks to the enemy. And not very long ago, you know, there was one exorcism that he had where, you know, the enemy, the devil, was weeping. And Father Ripperger said, "You know, why are you crying?" And he says, "I'm crying because my time is almost up." And you and I, you know, especially as we travail through this world and in this time, You know, we see things almost just coming to a head. You know, things that are crazy. I mean, it's not getting there. We are there, right? There's just all sorts of crazy going on. And so the message of trying to go forward and develop this relationship and do his work, you know, becomes even that much more pressing. Can't be something that we relegate to others. It can't be something that we say, well, you know, maybe next week or maybe the next day. You know, the Lord needs us now. That grace in which, you know, those who are in ministry with helping the Muslims come to know Jesus and convert, one of the things that they said was that it's important for us to pray for what... No, I'm sorry. They said it's important that we get our hearts to a point where it breaks for the things that breaks the Father's heart. You know, and what we believe is that, when we live our faith, and why we're in our faith is that we believe this is the fullness of the truth, and without the fullness of the truth, souls perish. They go to hell. And so that's something that breaks the Father's heart. And oftentimes we don't have that. You know, we think, well, it'll be fine. It'll be okay. Or I don't have to try as hard. And that's what I mean by, you know, growing in closer relationship to God with the heart of the Father, because then, you know, once we come to understand and know that, it's not only about the pursuit of the good and that which is holy, but then in the pursuit of holy, it also means looking after our brothers and sisters. It means also, you know, being those bold witnesses of faith, not only out of necessity in terms of it being mandated unto us, but, you know, in terms of there is a necessity, but it's more fueled out of love for the souls of the lost. I think one of the presenters there said it quite best when she said it was about looking to help the souls of the children of God who don't know they are His. And so this thing we call faith, this identity that we, you know, that Jesus has, you know, is not something that we can afford to, you know, get used to. And there's always more. There's always more that the Lord is calling us to. And one of the ways that, you know, we're going to strive here at our family of parishes, you know, is to provide with the consultation. I'm going to talk with the directors. More opportunities for people to come and encounter Jesus. So that's going to be coming in the mix. And one thing that is coming soon, tomorrow, that's going to be over at St. Mary Mystical Rose. We're doing the Wild Goose series again. You know, it's what we did a couple months ago. And so if you haven't been a part of that, or you know that your faith isn't where it ought to be, or that you haven't developed that relationship with Jesus, or you're just hungering for more and wanting to learn, you know, what that looks like, or want to rekindle that passion for Jesus, or maybe you've never had that passion. You've just been sitting in the pew day in, day out, and then you're just here to just check in, check out. Maybe that's something you need to do. So consider dropping by. You know, it's 14 weeks. It's filled with scripture. It's filled with the knowledge of the church fathers. You know, I might even learn something. And not only learn something, but then also what to do. You know, there's so much that our advocate is able to do for us if we rely on him. You know, this could be possibly that springboard that we need. You know, to dive deeper into our faith, deeper in relationship with him, deeper to have that heart that Jesus has, that we may be messengers that he needs so that others may hear the good news of hope.